welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I'm your host, John Orlando, bringing you the only podcast that is live and indirect from Providence, Rhode Island, via Columbus, Ohio. I'm sitting down with a man that, though relatively new to the business, is certainly making waves. I'm sitting down with No Shame, Jimmy Shane. Jimmy, how you doing?
How's it going, John? Thanks for having me.
I'm doing well. Don't have anything house cleaning items, if you will. I have nothing else to really start off with, so we're just going to go right into talking to you and tell us how you got into this crazy business of professional wrestling.
When I was 15, there was a local show at the local high school, Manchester High School, and it was an OCW show.
Okay.
This is how I was like, oh, indie wrestling. I had never gone to an indie wrestling show because every poster I had seen was just old fat guys in singlets. I had no interest of going to see wrestling.
Now, if I may interject, was that the Manchester show in which Abyss was on?
Abyss and Billy Gunn.
Okay, and Billy Gunn was also there.
So
okay.
That all pulled right. Me in because there was two names. I was like, oh, so yeah. There's going to at least be two guys who look good.
Right, right.
So I go, actually, Joey Vengeance and I went together.
Okay.
Because he had kind of known Robbie Starr a little bit, just okay. Through a grapevine, because Robbie's from the area.
Sure.
So Robbie invited us, and we went and sat in the front row, mm-hmm. And we were those annoying fans heckling everybody.
Really?
Ripping into Matt, ripping into Tank.
Yeah, because I think the main event for that was Tank, Matt, Jamie, the A-list. Jamie did not wrestle, but she was there, against Billy Gunn and Robbie Starr.
Starr.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Right, I remember that. Okay.
And we didn't know what to expect. We knew there was going to be a few good matches.
Right.
But I believe the first match was a triple threat between Virus, Thunder, and Unknown.
Yeah, yeah.
And that blew our minds.
Yeah.
We could not believe that there was a match like that where they were just going balls to the walls and
Suckered
us in right there.
Yeah, as a side note and a little interesting behind the scenes, Adam Michaels and I drove up because at that time Adam was reffing, and we drove up 71 from Columbus, and we had just got past an accident that had just occurred, and Abyss, also coming up from Cincinnati,
mm-hmm.
was taking 71, and he got stuck in it, because I guess as soon as we got past it, like, just everything came to a snarl and stop, and he was, like, really wicked late, and I do remember, because Jeff was a little bit, Jeff Cannon, who was promoting the show, was a little bit concerned, worried, upset, I don't know, whatever word you want to use, and Abyss wasn't there yet, and here he got stuck in that traffic jam, and Adam and I was like, thank God we got through there when we did. But so you went to the first indie show, you liked it, then what happened? Did you decide, in a couple of years I'm going to do this? Like, walk us through what your next chain of events were.
And Joey and I had a game plan, because there was an ad in the brochure, or the,
program
for the Big Guns Academy.
Of course.
And we're like, okay, well, we're going to play football all through high school, get some size to us, and then as soon as football season's done senior year, we'll go down to the Big Guns Academy and start wrestling. Joey wasn't eligible for the football team that year.
Okay.
So Joey went right down to the Big Guns Academy and started without me.
What a good friend.
Yeah, exactly.
Screw you, man. Okay, great. Was that team plan? Kaboom.
But I kept with football and kept playing because I wanted to get size on me, and I figured Jim Ross is always talking about how guys are football players.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only way to get into wrestling. But then, so I had this all planned that as soon as senior year was over, as soon as the season was done, I was going to go down to Coshocton.
Okay.
Very first practice that summer, I blew out my knee.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I learned something today. I never knew that.
Yep. And then I had two options. I could either take the surgery and definitely miss the season, or I could just rehab the knee and maybe come back. And it started like, oh, yeah, you'll be back by game two. And then I think I ended up coming back game seven of a 10-game season.
Okay.
And then I came back and ended up screwing up worse and had to get the surgery.
Oh, okay. All right.
And right after my surgery, Joey, he had just started wrestling in October of that year.
Okay.
So he's taking me to shows, and I actually rode with him and Tank down to a show near Columbus. It was Dave Lanning's promotion, whatever that was.
Oh, my gosh. PWA, you went to one of those?
Mm-hmm.
Was I on that show?
You might have. I know that.
I was doing the manager shtick because, like, totally taking the spotlight from you. Sorry. But anyways, yeah, because he had called me about working the show, but I was like, I don't want to ring announce. I'm like, I would like to do, because Caden Assad and I had this idea that we always wanted to do in Coshocton at OCW, and Jeff would never let it happen. And that's fine. I understood. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, fuck it, man. Let's pitch it to Dave. Dave Lanning will let us do it. And he did. So I'm like, yes. So I was his manager. So, okay. Was it in that dumpy little...
Yeah, it was like
Eagles Lodge.
Yeah,
or something.
It was in Eagles, yeah, I'm pretty sure. Okay, and they had that big tank out front.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. All right.
So I get inside, and Tank, because me and Joey's letting me and Tank get in for free. Like, he tells the people at the door, like, hey, they're with me. They're selling merch or whatever. Just let them in.
Okay.
Tank just walks right in. I have to crutch my way over to Jeremy and Matterson right there.
Okay.
And now I know them because I've been coming to OCW shows
sure,
all along.
Sure.
So I'm like a little like, all right, this is awkward. Like, now I got to introduce myself to him. Same with Tank. Tank was intimidating the first time I met him in person.
Oh, yeah, sure. I totally can believe that.
But I meet Jeremy first. He's like, hi, I'm Jeremy Madrox. I'm sure you've heard of me.
And that doesn't surprise me.
Not at all.
No, that does not surprise me at all.
And then I met Matt, and Matt was like, oh, hey, how's the knee? And for a while, every time I saw Matt, he asked about my knee, and... Mm-hmm. So that really put Matt over, like, real big in my mind at first. So I was like, oh, all right, so he's great in the ring, and he actually cares about me, and I'm nobody to him right now.
Right, yeah, right.
But then, so then finally my knee got fixed, and I was all ready to go, and I started doing cam work around that time for
OCW.
Right. But Jeff didn't have the school open yet. Mm-hmm. So I sat around for maybe a year just doing cam work before he finally opened the school.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had our tryout, and then my tryout class was me, Juice Jennings, Takahashi, and Tucker the Train.
All right. No, wait, wasn't there, I'm trying to think. I thought there was a fifth person. Maybe not.
We had people join in.
But then they didn't last. Yeah. They came in. Okay, maybe that's what I was thinking of. Okay.
I technically wasn't even part of that class. That was my tryout.
Okay. Because
I didn't have the money to start training right
okay.
away.
Okay, all right.
So I sat around for another 6 months before I even started training. But then trained at the Big Guns Academy for 9 months, and then finally went into OCW and made my big impact at Stairway to Stardom 2012 when I attacked Matt Mason.
Right, correct. Yeah. All right. Now, while you were training with Jeff, like how did you find it as tough as you thought it was going to be, or did you find like certain things were tough but certain things were a little bit easier? I mean, you know, because I think one of the things that a lot of people who get into and they go to Jeff's school or they go to any school, they believe what they've seen on TV. Mm-hmm. You know, like Vern Gagne is going to make you run 12 miles in the snow and you're going to have to do Hindu squats till you puke and stuff like that. But did you find it tough or did you find it just, you know, certain things tough and certain things were a little bit easier or whatnot?
It's a weird situation because when Joey told me about his training, it was rough. Mm-hmm. Like, Jeff really pounded it into him. Like, they would do bumps all the time, and it was just him and Caden wrestling for, because he trained with Caden.
Right, yeah, because that was a very small class, because I think everybody else that joined up, all those other guys were like, we're out of here. They were not the serious, dedicated people.
But at the same time, while the in-ring stuff was harder on Joey, Jeff made us do a lot of, like, calisthenics, and it was right on the time the Stone Cold Tough Enough was on TV.
Uh-huh.
And whatever challenge they did that week, we had to do in practice.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of lame. I'm sorry. I love you, Jeff, but that's kind of lame. You just stole shit from the TV. You're like, oh, well, you know.
It was whatever.
Okay.
But, and I love Jeff, but he trains us to be a certain way. Like, Juice is a more technical wrestler because Juice likes that style.
Sure.
So he taught Juice a lot more technical stuff.
Sure.
He didn't teach me all that stuff. He knew that I was going to be more of a personality than a wrestler, I think. And so I was real basic. And.
But I think, though, you know, it was one of the things, and you have now started to travel around. You know, you work war wrestling. You've worked down in Kentucky, right?
Never Kentucky.
Oh, no, that wasn't Kentucky. Oh, no, I'm
West
sorry.
West Virginia. Pennsylvania.
Okay. Has that been an education for you as well, where you've picked up other things? Because I think that that's one of the... That was one of the... better things about the territory system. You could go and learn different things. So what have you learned going to these other places like war and down to West Virginia and Pennsylvania?
It's been real different because each place has a different style somewhat.
Sure.
But a good thing going back to Jeff, how he trained me the way I am, he has taught me to win the crowd over and then that wins the promoter over. So I might not have the 5-star match, but I get the crowd behind me or against me more often.
Right, yeah, sure. You're doing your job.
Yeah.
Right.
In fact, went down to West Virginia for NWA Mid-Atlantic for their first show. And the guy who was booking, he wasn't booking, but he was kind of like a road agent backstage almost. Like, he was putting the show together.
Okay.
And he came up to me and Juice, because we were tagging in that show. And it was Brian Logan.
Okay.
Train Jock. Jock Sampson. And he asked us, like, oh, hey, who trained you guys? And we said, Jeff Kane. He's like, all right, well, I know you two can work then. All right, go out there and have a good match. And then the actual promoter came back and told us we are only maybe third match of the night, but he said, I'm pretty sure this is already going to be match of the night. I can already tell you that.
Oh, that's cool. That's real cool. Who'd you work in that first outing down there at NWA Mid-Atlantic?
A tag team by the name of Two of a Kind.
Two of a Kind.
Mark Maverick and, I want to say, CD Sensation.
Two of a Kind, do they look alike?
No, they looked nothing alike.
Please tell me, because I'm always fascinated. When I sit down, like I sat down with Tank, mm-hmm. you know, I'm always fascinated by gimmicks, because at the indie level, either they're done really well or they're done half-assedly. I think that's an adverb, yeah. Half-assedly. Anyways, and it's so were these guys, do they at least have matching gear?
I think they were intending on being the heels in the match. But before they got there, but they were way smaller than us.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. No,
it was a great match. I'm not trying to put anything on them. Right, I loved the match, and I loved working those guys. Both were good.
Right.
But they're
you can put the heat on me. they give you shit. Go. It's that asshole John Orlando. He was the one that's making fun of you.
But they came out with bandanas on like Tupac.
Okay.
And not even matching bandanas. They were different colors.
Okay.
And they were wearing. It wasn't matching gear. And I was like, all right, what's this going to be? And it was one of those where, until the match actually started, I was a little nervous, thinking it was going to be a train wreck.
Okay.
But it was actually really good, and hopefully we're going to have a few more matches with them coming
up. Okay. All right, cool. That's cool. Excellent. Well, all right, back on track, back to OCW. So you came in, you became affiliated with Robbie Starr.
Mm-hmm.
How has the relationship been with working with Robbie Starr?
It worked way better than we thought it was going to.
Really?
Like, I think because there was other plans at the time, and we were just supposed to be the first step of that plan.
Sure.
We weren't supposed to be the only two in it together for a while. I'm not going to go into what that was. But
sure, right.
And so we were like, all right, well, we won't really be a tag team. We happen to have pink gear, but that's not all. Like, we're not a team. We didn't have a tag team name at first. We were just, we helped each other out.
Right.
But then we think exactly alike on so many things. Going back to Mogador 2012, I remember we were in the Battle Royal, and Christian Vaughn was facing, like, we were the three heels in the match, and we were being peeled down, and Vaughn turned and stared at us, and he put up the W for the winners. Robbie and I look at him, look at each other, look back at him, and without saying a word, both kick him in the gut and try to eliminate him. And then fast forward to Mogador 2013, we're in the Battle Royal, and we're beating someone down with Jack the Seeker, and he pats us both on the back, we look at him, nod at each other, and throw him out of the Battle Royal without speaking. I can't explain it.
How's that work when you guys are thinking about different things in the back? You know, different types of things that you can do in your strategy, does that also help out? Let me rephrase that. Not so much in the ring strategy, but like promos and stuff like that, I guess is what I'm getting at. Do you guys gel well with that type of stuff as well?
Our best promos are the ones where we don't plan anything.
When we
try to think of what we're going to say, they bomb. It's really bad. But then our last two, each year at the DBI, we've cut a really good promo where it's just us ad-libbing and just, we usually argue in our best promos where,
really?
Because both our characters have such big egos that both want to be the center of attention.
Right. Gotcha. All right, so working with Robbie's been great, but I'm going to kind of go back to Mid-Atlantic. Because now you've been down there for a couple of months and you're teaming with Juice Jennings. So how is that comparison-wise when you've teamed with Robbie as compared to teaming with Juice?
It's very different because Robbie and I, we do more shenanigans, and when the time comes, we can get in there and wrestle. And it's more of Robbie's my mentor and he's leading me with
in
Juice.
The storyline, right?
Yeah.
Sure.
And even in the back, he makes sure that I do things right, and he's always coaching me from the corner. But Juice and I are more equal since we started together training, and it's it's also, we worked really well together. I've had a lot of fun. And then our promos, we plan them, and they're also very fun.
Oh, I definitely will compliment you guys. The Party Crasher promos, from what I've seen, have been hilarious. They're very well done. I'm a big fan. All right, so let's talk then a little bit more about some of the other areas that you've worked, because you've been up in War, right? And yeah. If I remember correctly, now, I have not been around War during that particular time, but there was a Glee gimmick going on?
The Glee gimmick actually just started this year.
Did it? Yeah, right. Yeah, mm-hmm. It just started. Because. So tell us a little bit about how that came about.
It was actually, that's what they wanted to give me as soon as I came there. Okay. But Robbie had just turned. So they went, okay, we'll just put him with Robbie again and just keep things simple there.
Sure.
But then Robbie and I, we went our separate ways in War this year.
Okay.
And they were trying to figure out what to do with me because I'm going to let this in. I was supposed to go babyface.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Robbie turned on me.
Okay.
Dropped me at the Starstruck in the middle of the ring.
Okay.
And as the referees held me to the back,
yeah,
the crowd says, "You still suck."
Yeah,
go,
I mean,
cry. Like
that is one thing that I mentioned before on this podcast. The fans of Lima, there's no indifference.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kiss of death. They either hate you or love you, and you know, the promoter Big Tom goes by that, and that's smart.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's smart. You know, there's no reason to try to force feed something up then when you have that crowd that's so highly opinionated. So they didn't care. They were happy. They were like, yeah, forget you, man. Boo. And it didn't matter.
It's really funny because that's how the match started. Robbie, it was Robbie versus Dodge, Mikey D.
Okay.
Mikey D came out, ran Robbie off, and then they started wrestling. And then I came out and cost Robbie the match by distracting him. And then I left, and Robbie started beating down, was about to hit Dodge with the chair, and Joey V ran out.
Okay.
And Joey V turned heel on Mikey D and got cheered. So I turned face and got booed. Joey turned heel and got cheered.
Yeah, well, that's the Lima crowd, man. Mm-hmm. That's it. That's that crowd. And it was at UAW, right?
Yep.
The UAW
mm-hmm.
hall. That crowd is a real enigma.
Mm-hmm.
A puzzle, if you will, as to figuring them out. All right, so then they started with the Glee gimmick, so they were like, we're just going
to
go
with that?
Then
they didn't know what to do with me, so they're like, all right, how about we try this Glee gimmick?
Okay.
So I went out to the ring, and I got on the mic, and, you know, I always spike my hair the same way every show.
Sure,
well, I came out there, and they had a comb over. I was trying to go for more of a different look. So I came out, cut a promo about how I was finally on my own, and I was ready for all the spotlight, and it felt good, and then I started seeing some grease. Because why not?
Right. Right. Did you try to do what they did on that week's episode of Glee?
No, because it was...
Or was it on hiatus?
I think it was on hiatus, but I think the grease hadn't been that... It wasn't
like that
too far
finale?
Away from me.
Yeah, okay, all right.
And then, I don't think... Because I've also danced plenty at War. I'm kind
of course.
The War Wrestling Dance-Off Champion.
I've been involved in a dance-off or two with you, but more on that later.
So I don't think I've actually only done the full on Glee singing once, and I'm not sure what the crowd thinks of it yet, because they think it's just me being goofy still. I'm still dancing, then I'm singing, like, it's fun, but we'll see where it goes.
Do they make you come out in like a band geek outfit or anything like that, or no?
Nope, no. I just wear I have a custom Glee shirt with my face on it.
Nice! Mm-hmm. Awesome. I like that. Well, okay, let's talk about... You've been involved in many dance-offs, including the one in Zanesville.
That was my very first dance-off.
Was that the very first one ever? Really?
Okay. That's actually... That, hands down, you were involved in possibly the most influential match of my entire career so far.
Really?
Because that was my very first dance-off with Mike D.
Okay.
And we have been dancing all over Ohio ever since.
Oh man, really? I'm okay.
Then after that match, that was my very first victory in wrestling. I beat Mike Dodge that night.
Yeah, that's right.
So that was a real cool moment to get to beat him, and me and him and I are friends, you know, so it was really nice to have that moment with him. And Robbie was victorious later that night. So then at the after party, Robbie and I were bragging about winning, and that's where we said that we are winners. Yes. And ever since then, I've been dancing and calling myself a winner.
Oh, man. And I remember that Mikey pitched that to me in the back. He's like, okay, so Jimmy and I are going to do this, dance. I want you to get involved. I'm like, all right, because I was like, why not, you know? And so I was like, but let's figure out what we're going to do. He worked out all the different steps and everything. And so I was like, well, hell, I'm going to go full all out, just ridiculous. And I remember later, because Matt Mason had a promo.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's when he had injured the arm, and he was still rehabbing the arm. And the first words out of his mouth, as soon as he came in the ring, and his music's playing, and the crowd's popping, he goes, nice fucking dancing. I'm like, thanks. So, all right, well, so what are your goals in professional wrestling? I mean, everybody has a particular goal in wrestling. Mm-hmm. What's yours?
I mean, I think if you're in this business, at one point you want to make it to WWE.
Okay.
Or at some point, you might realize, like, okay, that dream's not going to happen.
Sure.
But I'm 22 years old.
Yeah.
I'm only a year and a half in the business. Mm-hmm. I want to someday make it there. I know I have a lot of work to go to and get through. But that's my long-term goal.
Okay.
Short-term, I don't just want to be that guy who can go out there and have a funny match.
Sure.
I don't just want to be the dancing joke. I want to be a little guy who you can rely on. And I think a lot of promoters know they can put me out there and I can turn a crowd against me if they give me the right opportunity. And
do you think you would be a good face?
I am terrified of that day coming.
Really?
Yep.
Because I hear that a lot from some guys. That the people that have been predominantly a heel or face, they don't think that they would do very well flipping, if you will. And so I was just, you don't think that you would get over
I've had a handful of matches as face.
Okay.
And I've been a jobber in every single one of them.
Okay.
So that might be why I might just have a negative feeling against it.
Maybe.
But I don't know, that's just, I think maybe I could, because I can still be goofy, like, a little bit.
Sure.
But.
All right, well, let's go back a little bit, back to the beginning. You were obviously a fan.
Yes.
Growing up. Okay. So who were some of your favorites? What did you watch? What did you remember as some of the memorable moments of what you saw as a kid growing up?
So since I'm 22, and when I tried in 1997 was when wrestling was huge.
Yeah,
obviously,
right.
You know?
Yeah, right.
But because it was the Attitude Era and Suck It and Stone Cold giving the middle finger, my mom wouldn't let me watch.
That's okay, because I'll share you, so you don't feel bad. Now, I'm much older than you, so we're going to go back. I remember one time my mom came in to watch, I was watching primetime wrestling, okay, and it was Snuka versus Morocco, and a Fijian strap match, I think, and Morocco was a bloody mess, and my mom, I was grounded from watching wrestling for like 3 weeks, because my mom was horrified that they were showing that, because my mom had no idea, no concept of what cable television meant. Like, she just felt, if it's on TV, it should be decent. I'm like, but no, it's cable, mom, you know, but... You try when you're 7-year-old to explain that to your mom, and because then it just, you mouthing me, and so it just got even worse. So that's okay. I had the same way. My mom, I was grounded for like 3 weeks until we had to sit down and have a talk about wrestling and all that jazz, because my folks were very, very skeptical, from the get go. They didn't believe anything that happened in the WWF or NWA or whatever was remotely real. But anyways, go ahead. Sorry.
So then,
you weren't allowed to watch. All right.
So then it fast forward, I totally, that kind of rebelled me against wrestling.
Okay.
And then there was, because the cool kids wanted to hang out with me because they were all about wrestling.
Yeah.
They're like, well, you can't hang out with us. We're playing with our wrestling action figures. So then I totally went the other way. I was like, all right, I hate wrestling. I'm done with it. And then my stepdad comes home from work one day and he's like, hey, they were talking about, there's this big fat Samoan wrestler who wears a thong and rubs his butt in their face. And he was talking about Rikishi. So he turns it on just to watch, just to see this guy.
Okay.
And I distinctly remember there was a battle royal. I think I had seen a few episodes before when SmackDown was in Cleveland, because my best friend had went, because he was a big wrestling fan.
Okay. All right.
But that wasn't a thing we had in common. But I had watched just because he told me he was going to be on TV, but he was in the nosebleed, so there was no way he was going to be on TV. But then that match that he turned on to see Rikishi, there was a battle royal to open with SmackDown. The winner got a title shot at whoever was champion at the time.
Okay.
And the final two were Hulk Hogan and Triple H. And I was like, Hulk Hogan is still wrestling? keep in mind, this is 2002 and I'm saying Hulk Hogan's still wrestling.
Right, right.
But then the very segment after that, I was a big superhero fan growing up.
Okay, yeah.
And the Hurricane was on.
Awesome.
And I was like, there's a superhero wrestler?
One of the great gimmicks of that time period. I love it. Still to this day, if Gregory Helms would still do that gimmick, that I love that gimmick too. Yeah. All right, so you totally marked out for the Hurricane.
Marked out so much, you want to know a secret?
What?
What's my last name?
Shane.
Shane Helms. Right. So I got you it got from it.
Nice.
So I just started watching, and I was like, all right, this is cool. And then I'm going to get it. I think a lot of guys are going to be disappointed to hear this.
All right.
But then another thing that really sucked me in, Kurt Angle was in an open challenge, and this young new guy at his very first match came out talking about he had ruthless aggression, and he smacked Kurt Angle in the face, took him to the limit, and that was John Cena.
Oh, yeah. That would have been 2002. Uh-huh. Wow, yeah, and then, I remember that.
So I picked, you know, I was just like, oh, this guy's brand new. I just started watching. I'll like him. And then he went heel, started the rap gimmick, and I liked rap music, so I was like, oh, this is awesome. This is cool. And I remember his very first t-shirt. It was a white t-shirt with the blue thumbs up thing on it.
Yeah, right.
And I had that and got picked on for wearing it at school. Because John Cena was a bad guy, and you weren't supposed to like him because he sucks. And I'm like, no, he's like, I had started early. I was like, no, I kind of like the heel, like him and Matt Hardy. I was like, because he was doing the version one thing.
Yeah.
And that was great.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, and all right. And John Cena became my guy. Mm-hmm. And still to this day, I'm not a huge fan. I am. But I'm more of a fan because he's my Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, and that, you know. Yeah, I mean, I think that's a fair mm-hmm. statement, and I think everybody says that he certainly is this generation's yeah. Hogan. That's funny, because as you were telling that story about getting picked on at school because you wore a shirt of the heel, I got picked on in school because I was just wearing wrestling shirts. It didn't matter. Like, hey, geek, what's that? It's my Road Warrior shirt. You know, but
I did also wear my bright lime green Hurricane shirt probably 3 times a week.
Oh, man. You had one of those?
Oh, it's...
You know what? I actually, side story, in the shoot job, being a teacher, there were times where I would mark out when a kid wears an old, like, wrestling shirt. There was a kid that had a DDP shirt. I don't know where he got that from. It looks like it's been well-worn. I think it was a hand-me-down from dad or big brother, but I was like, DDP? That is sweet! You know,
My Hurricane shirt got so raggedy from wear to the time that it eventually had holes in their armpits. And,
nice.
And so, but I cut out the symbol, and I still have it somewhere, the logo, somewhere in a box.
What? What are you going to use this for?
It was my first wrestling shirt. It meant something to me.
Okay. All right. And I still have my first wrestling shirt, which was the green Jake the Snake Roberts one. Mm-hmm. I still have it. It's in the trunk with all my other stuff.
I still have that white John Cena shirt that I got picked on. It's still in good condition, so I'm waiting for it to be vintage enough that it's cool enough for me to start wearing it.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe someday.
It might be. You never know. It might be. Okay, well, let's talk about today. So, who do you like watching today in professional wrestling?
I'm a big fan of Christian. I really like Christian, and I think I don't know why I'm stumbling right here, but Chris Jericho... I think when it's all said and done, he's going to be considered one of the top three greatest wrestlers ever. I'm not a huge Jericho fan. Like, I don't put him in, like, my top favorite wrestler. But he sucks me in like no other. And he's
really?
Just, yeah, he's...
See, I think he still has it. He's still getting up there in age, but he still has it. And he has some really spectacular matches like that. One a couple weeks ago with Rob Van Dam on Raw was really good. But, top three ever. Well, that's a bold statement, Jimmy.
Yeah, that's a bold statement, man. I'm talking, like, obviously he's not going to be Hulk Hogan, John Cena, The Rock, Stone Cold top guys. But I'm talking pound-for-pound wrestler.
Wow. That's bold. I'm just saying that's bold. That's bold.
I said it. I don't care.
All right. No shame in that.
Exactly.
I'm stealing your catchphrase. So, Jericho sucks you in. Mm-hmm. Who else?
Not so much anymore, because I was a big... It shows a lot in the ring how much of a fan I am of The Miz, I think.
Okay.
We have a lot of the same mannerisms.
Sure.
So I like watching him just to see little things, and someone I've recently started to really like is Cody Rhodes.
Because
he does a lot of the old school stuff, but mixing in with new, and I think that's kind of how I wrestle a little bit. I don't do anything too flashy or too...
I've always thought that Cody Rhodes was solid, and I think that they haven't used him as well as they should have,
no,
or as,
not
as
at
best
all.
As they can. So Cody Rhodes, Chris Jericho. Who? Okay, so let's just go that way. If you're saying right now, I'm going to put you on the spot, greatest of all time, you had to pick five greatest of all time. Who would you put on the list, and why? I know we didn't even talk about this off air, if you will, but I'm just going to throw it out there. Since you're throwing Jericho,
I already threw in Jericho.
Okay.
Shawn Michaels.
Okay.
I've got my last one, but I'm saving the last one for last.
I will agree with Shawn Michaels. I will say Ric Flair, though he's become a complete sham of his former self.
But you got to ignore what's going on
right now.
Right.
I'm looking at his in-the-ring abilities and what he has done to change the industry, so I'm saying Flair. I think you have to go with Hogan, too, for the same exact reasons as Flair. He changed things up. As I told on the episode with Jeremy Madrox, as a kid, I didn't like Hogan. I really didn't. But when you went to a live WWF event and he was there, you couldn't help but cheer. You had to. Yeah. Even me going, I don't like this guy. Oh, my God, real American, you know? And I mean, you know, you had to. So I'm going Michaels, Flair, Hogan.
Michaels, Flair, Jericho, Hogan, you're right.
Okay.
And then my number five, John Cena.
Okay.
People can say what they want about his five moves of doom or whatever. My favorite match of all time is WrestleMania 23, Shawn Michaels versus John Cena.
That was a really good match. I was actually there live because that's Detroit, right?
Yep.
That was in Ford Field. I was there live. That was a really good match. That was. I will give it to him.
And then they had an hour draw a couple weeks later on Raw.
That's right.
That was even better, I think.
That's right. My three, I said Michaels, Flair, Hogan, greatest of all time. I think my last couple, again, also might be argumentative. I'm throwing Bruiser Brody in there.
Mm-hmm.
He was a favorite of mine, but I'm throwing it in there because the guy worked everywhere, and because as a kid, he literally scared the shit out of me. I'm serious. As a kid, I'm like, oh my God, he's going to kill this guy. Just the way he came to the ring and his mannerisms. So I'm going to go with him. I'm going to say the fifth greatest of all time. I'd like to throw Triple H in there, but I'd like to see what he does behind the scenes in the next few years. So I'm not going to throw him in there because he is... For all the politics aside, I think he's always been a solid wrestler.
He deserves what he's gotten.
Like. Right. Yeah, but people are going to rag on him for what he's done and marrying Stephanie and all that jazz and being a prick backstage and that. But so I'm going to hold off on him. I'm going to say, as the greatest of all time, I would throw Vince McMahon in there as a promoter. But again, I said top five workers because I think, obviously, like him or hate him, he's done a lot to change the industry as well and change the history of pro wrestling. For my last one...
Robbie Starr?
No. No offense, Robbie, but no. Wow, okay, see, now I've even stumped myself, Jimmy. See, damn, these questions bite me in the ass. Wow.
Now I'm even double-thinking my list that I had it all set.
I know.
Because I totally forgot about Macho Man. I can't believe I thought about Randy
Macho
Savage.
Macho Man would be right there. You know what? I'll probably throw this one out there, and I'll probably get some heat. I'm going to go Fabulous Moolah. Because
nice.
She was the pinnacle of women's pro wrestling for decades. I'm going to throw her in there as one of the greatest of all time. So there you go. There's my five.
All right, I like it.
All right. That was a tough one, man. All right, now you did mention that you love superheroes. So here we go. I gotta ask, big comic book fan.
Yep.
What were your favorite superheroes? Some of your favorite books, et cetera, et cetera. I know this is the part of the podcast where everybody goes,
Jeremy Madrox starts tweeting about like,
nerds.
And...
You're nerds. Yeah, right, exactly. But anyways, favorite superheroes, books, et cetera.
So, growing up, I'm not going to get too much into it, but I really didn't have a father figure in my life.
Sure.
So my mom was raising me single-handedly, and... Then who I attribute to, sure, she put a lot of morals in place, but someone who I saw and was like, wow, so that's what a man can be. This is really cheesy. But Superman, I always looked at Superman as, wow, that's what a hero should be. That's what a man should be.
No, like, that actually is not, that does not sound corny to me because I think that is that's what he represents. Yep. He represents a certain amount of values. Yeah.
Went to see Man of Steel on Father's Day because of it.
Oh, really?
Yep. It was that's... just when I happened to have free time. But yeah, yeah. I was like, all right, this works.
Did you like Man of Steel?
I did, and I debated over it in my head because I'm such a Superman fan.
Sure.
I even liked Superman Returns until I watched it five times and I saw flaws in it. I was like, wow, oh,
okay.
Okay, I see this isn't a good movie.
Yeah. Okay.
But
what did you think of Man of Steel?
I really liked it.
Okay.
There was problems I had with it, like...
Such as? Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert. If you haven't seen Man of Steel, you want to turn down the volume right now.
I've had people explain to me ways to make it better, but I didn't like him killing Zod. Or if he had to kill Zod, kill him in a later movie so it's that he's finally breaking his rule and he's killing him.
Yeah, and see, that's the thing that everybody argues about, but it's the way that I saw it was that he killed Zod, but yet I felt that those next few seconds where he was so like distraught over it, like I think it worked in that. I think that's the common complaint everybody has, is that he killed Zod.
It didn't ruin the movie for me or anything. And Juice Jennings has even talked to me about it, where he's like, no, that's... He killed him, and that's where he makes the rule to never kill again.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes really good sense. And then, I think that was a common complaint. Everybody goes, oh, it was dark and brooding. Well, you know what? That's
how movies are now.
Right? Yeah, and you know, I look at, you know, the studio hired Zack Snyder.
Yeah.
Everything he does is dark and weird and that, so, you know, that's what you get with him.
And it's a guy who flies around in blue tights and a red cape. It's going to look campy if you don't make it dark.
Right, exactly. I agree. And that's, I think, where, you know, the Christopher Reeve movies were really campy. Though, I still think Superman 1 is a good movie.
Yeah,
I think it was good. Even though it was campy and that, I still think it was very good entertainment-wise. Superman 2 was good because of the introduction of Zod.
Yeah.
And that was awesome. Terrence Stamp was phenomenal as Zod. And then that's it. 3 and 4, awful. Yeah. Terrible. Okay, so you like Superman. Mm-hmm. What else was you...
Well, then sticking in the same thing, my actual favorite, right, maybe not, yeah, right now probably, is actually Superboy, the clone of Superman. Just because I was a kid in the 90s, and he was exactly who it was supposed to be for me.
Okay. But
then I
that's true. Yeah. That's true. I remember that whole death of Superman. I waited for like 30 minutes outside of the local comic book shop to get my copy, and then I had to wait for the second printing because I didn't open it. I'm like, oh, I opened this because I'm a nerd. It's going in its board and bag and bag. Anyways, all right, so besides Superman?
Green Lantern. Okay. I really like Green Lantern.
So you're more of a DC guy than a Marvel
guy? Much more of a DC guy. I used to be more Marvel when I was younger, I think, because I really liked the X-Men, and Gambit was my favorite X-Men.
Yeah, I like Gambit, too. So you were more of a DC guy. Are you still reading now? What are you reading now? Anything? Or?
I still have my pull list in my local comic book shop where they put comics aside for me.
Sure.
It's just because I'd been getting them for so long since I was younger.
Yeah.
I had the whole, before they did the whole New 52, the whole...
Oh, God.
Most recent run of Teen Titans.
Yes.
So I'm still signed up for Teen Titans, still getting that. And then Superboy's book right now.
Okay.
Where they've really changed him a lot, and it's... I'm not sure how I like it.
No, and that I really I could this could be a whole other podcast about how much DC I think. In you, I was always a DC guy too.
Mm-hmm.
I liked a lot of their stuff. I liked a lot of Marvel stuff too, but I liked DC because they had Vertigo and that was really weird and offbeat. But I think anymore that Dan DiDio or however you pronounce his last name,
I don't know how to say
the editor in chief. He's such. I've heard stories. This is an actual shoot. I've heard stories that from my friend Dara, where he will, on one Monday, pitch an idea. Nobody will like it, but he keeps pitching it until finally, like Tuesday or Wednesday, the writer's like, fine, that's what we'll do. And then he'll change his mind the following Monday.
Great.
And they're like, whoa, we want this idea of whatever. You know, Jimmy Olsen is actually a Green Lantern. You know, what do you mean? You know, or whatever. And he's like, oh, that's stupid. I don't know what I was thinking. I was like, how do you manage to just screw that all up? You know, just be that ADD, if you will. Well, that's cool, man. I'm still a big fan of still a lot of the Vertigo stuff, a lot of the offbeat stuff. I'm a huge fan of... I tend to follow, like, creative teams.
Yeah.
So even if there's a superhero, like, I don't like... Like, for an example, it's well known, I'm a huge mark for Kevin Smith.
Yeah.
He started writing that Green Arrow story line Quiver. I'm like, Green Arrow is kind of lame. I think he made Green Arrow cool. He did. And I think that's why there's a TV show.
Yeah,
I don't think
exactly.
if he wrote Quiver, even though it was like 8 years ago, I don't think he would have sparked the interest because I was like, Green Arrow's lame, dude. He shoots arrows. He's like Hawkeye. You know, but so I follow teams like that. I like Gail Simone, who I think is a phenomenal writer. Ironically, by the way, side note, she got fired by Dan Deodato.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And then rehired.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, what? Anyways, I like her, Garth Ennis, Warren Ellis, I'm a big fan of. So I've just been a geek ever since. And I find that, do you find it that a lot of comic book geeks are also pro wrestling fans?
Yeah, there's a lot of crossover there. And I mean, walk into the locker room where, because the wrestling fans are the biggest, I mean, the wrestlers are the biggest wrestling fans there are. There's
right.
no doubt about it.
Yeah.
And you walk in there wearing a comic book shirt. There's most of those guys are going to know exactly who you are, the most obscure shirt you're wearing. Like,
I know. All right, so as we start going into the tail end of our podcast here, is there anything that you want to plug, any upcoming dates or anything along those lines that are coming up?
When's this dropping, do you know?
Funny you ask that, because we are recording it on the road, or I'm recording it on the road, because I'm not in Columbus, and we are, this will probably drop in 3 weeks. So mid-August?
All right, so that'll... If...
Boy, we just totally broke kayfabe. Thank you. I hate you so much, Jimmy Shane.
I'm
totally broke... Totally
what
broke
I do.
Kayfabe. This is recorded way in advance. Damn you. Anyways.
Well, if you were in West Newton, Pennsylvania on August 10th, you saw me wrestle former WCW star Lodi. You saw that happen?
Yeah, that's coming up. That's coming up? All right. Sweet. You have to let me know how he is.
I've... been in the locker room with him for a while, but I've never actually wrestled him.
So he seems really cool and laid back?
He's not bad.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, he's not a prick or anything. He's not like, oh, I'm from WCW, I'm this, I'm that.
I'm Lodi, I was the sign guy.
I think he even knows, he's like, hey, I was the sign guy. I was...
Really?
I was in Raven's Flock and not really much of the West Hollywood Blondes, like...
And he was, if you think about it, he was probably... Would you consider him to be the most successful member of the flock? Minus Raven. You can't call and count him because, I mean, they really didn't. It was him, Scotty Riggs, Horace. Who else? There's somebody else.
Billy Kidman.
Billy Kidman was in it.
Perry Saturn was in it.
That's right. I knew I was forgetting a few folks. Like the Horsemen, there's 17 of them. You know. Okay, so load
it. See, that's the thing. I didn't start watching wrestling until 2002, but I've gone back and watched. Back when I used to have classics on demand, I would go back and watch the old Nitros and Raws. So I'd like to say I'm a bit of a historian. I like to look back and learn more stuff. So, because you're not going to...
Like, what's some of the memorable stuff you remember seeing on classics on demand that really made an impact on you that you were like, oh, that was really good, or I'm stealing that, you know, or something along those lines? Do you remember any of those things?
Nothing specifically.
Okay.
I've stolen a lot. I've stolen a lot of things.
Like what? Do you want to reveal that or no?
I mean, if you watch me, I'm pretty much, it goes well with it, but I'm really Robbie Star Light when I go off and wrestle.
Robbie Star Light. Mm-hmm. Awesome.
And then...
That's available at your local convenience store, by the way. In 6-pack and 12-pack. Robbie Star Light.
And, like, I've talked to a few people, like, I've told Jeremy Madrox that when he retires, I'm stealing the Brooklyn boot. He knows that's
coming. Nice. Yep. Okay. All right. He's aware of that. All right. Well, anyways, back to where else are you going to be in the upcoming weeks since you ruined it? By the way, just so you know, if gas wasn't $3.55 a gallon, I would not record these in advance.
Oh, it's like, totally fine.
Here. I'm in Akron. I'm just going to go and bust out a bunch of them. Anyways.
August. Oh, this is real bad. I don't remember what the date is. August the 17th?
17th is the next Saturday.
That weekend I will be, that whole weekend, so it's the 16th, 17th, 18th, I really hope that's the date, I'm not screwing this up, is the Allen County Fair for War Wrestling.
Okay.
And I'll be at all 3 days. All
right.
Doing what I do.
Gotcha.
Hopefully getting a shot at Juice Jennings somewhere down the line. Probably not. But, you know, it's worth a shot.
How's that going to work? I mean, in terms of your relationship with Juice, when you get in the ring, because you are tag team partners in Atlantic, you know, NWA Mid-Atlantic in West Virginia, so how do you think that's going to impact that team if you do get a shot at Juice Jennings in the War heavyweight title?
We hate each other anywhere but West Virginia. That's how we look at it.
So Juicing, you had that understanding. We're going to go out there and we're going to give it everything we got, and whatever happens, happens. Mm-hmm. But when it's time to go and be the party crashers.
Yeah, then we just go. We have fun. We're,
okay.
We cross the state lines. It's like something, there's a smell in the air. I don't know. Uh-huh. It might be Jock Sampson. I don't know what it is. There's some smell in the air that makes us want to get along in West Virginia.
Side note, if you ever try to do a double shot with Juice Jennings,
you'll be late.
You're not going to make the second one. I'm just telling you right now. You're not going to make it. But love you, Juice. Mm-hmm. Anyways. Alright, so how do we get in touch with you, by the way, social media-wise or website-wise or whatnot?
It's really easy. On Twitter, it's just at Jimmy Shane. There's no numbers, there's no
hashtags, extra, no underscore. Like just, no underscore.
It's really, somehow I got my hands on it. And
that's good, man. That's nice stuff.
Facebook, I have a fan page, it's just Jimmy Shane, you can find it and like it. And I usually post the Party Crasher promos on there. That's where you can find them.
Yeah.
And if you don't want to go to Facebook to do that, you can go to youtube.com/user/JimmyShaneTV. That's where all my promos and I put a few matches on there.
Nice.
And
no Instagram. No tout. You don't tout.
Instagram at Jimmy Shane.
Oh, really?
Yep. Vine Jimmy Shane.
Really?
Yep. I got Jimmy Shane all across the board.
Is there a Reddit of Jimmy Shane?
No, there's
not.
Not
yet.
Not yet.
Now I've just...
Once people
want to
ask me things, then I'll do
Reddit. I was going to say, I know what's happening as soon as I leave this apartment. Click, 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 signing up for Reddit. Okay.
That's pretty much it.
All right. All right. Well, I'm going to, real quick, before we start wrapping things up and I give out Orlando's faves here for a moment, I know you're familiar with.
Yeah,
it's my favorite stuff.
I listen to a PVD cast every time it comes out.
I know. You are a loyal listener. You and Juice Jennings. I appreciate that. And Jeremy Madrox, too. We got lots of loyal listeners. And you know what? Again, since it's obvious that I'm a cheap ass, tell a friend or two or three or whatever. Let's spread the word, ladies and gentlemen. If you get a chance, you know, tweet about it or whatever. Get the word out there so we can get some more listeners on there. We're pulling 40 every single week, but let's move that up some.
Oh, I mean, you can guarantee if I'm on this, I'm going to be showing it like crazy when my episode comes out. I'm kind of an attention whore.
That would be a great moniker. Attention whore, Jimmy Shane.
I've thought about it, but we wrestled a lot of family-friendly places.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, I don't think that would fly too well. But anyways, you can get in touch with me at PBDMVP. You want to shoot me an email, pbdcast@mail.com. I actually have a couple of announcements that I'm going to be talking about here in a few weeks. There's going to be some changes to the PVD cast.
Uh-oh.
But they're for the better.
All right, I'm
going to keep that under wraps for right now. So let's get into Orlando's faves. And it's funny, we talked about Man of Steel because this is very movie-oriented. Although, and I'm not, this is going to show my age, I'm not sure if you will remember this TV show. But I went to the theater recently and watched the documentary entitled Evocateur, the Morton Downey Jr. movie. And it was absolutely fascinating. You don't remember Morton Downey Jr.?
Nope. I've heard the name.
You've heard the name? Yeah. All right, well, he was pretty much the precursor to every trashy talk show. Mm-hmm. He was before Jerry Springer, before like Glenn Beck, before Bill O'Reilly, and he was that guy. And it's a fascinating documentary, and I highly recommend it. Very much, and I kid you not, as I'm watching it, I'm thinking, given recent developments, this is Ric Flair.
Oh, yeah,
he made a ton of, like, he was only on the air for 2 years. One of the shortest TV shows ever. But he started doing the show, and in literally 2 months, he had the highest ratings ever in New York City, and they syndicated it right away.
Nice.
But married 3 times, spent money like it was water. When things started to tank, like people just started getting tired of his show and the ratings started slipping, and no matter what publicity stunt he did, he couldn't get the ratings back up, and he ended up being a washout. So he's very much like Randy the Ram or Ric Flair.
Yeah,
as I was watching this, I'm like, oh my god, wrestling fans would love this because, you know, it's kind of a shoot
interview.
Yeah, it's a shoot interview, and we understand it. It clicks with us, you know. So that's my fave. Definitely when it drops, you know, on Netflix or a DVD or whatever, I highly recommend it. Evocateur, the Morton Downey Jr. movie. The only bad part? No WrestleMania 5 clips.
Huh.
I so wanted to see him on Piper's Pit with the...
Yeah.
The blown smoke.
That's where I know the name
from.
Yeah,
because remember he was blowing the smoke. I'm going to ask you not to blow the smoke in the face, Mr. Downey. Yeah, that was the... Yeah. Yeah, but nothing. I was kind of disappointed. Vince wouldn't let, I guess, maybe that stuff go.
You know how it is.
Yeah. Trademarking.
Yeah.
Everything for a dollar.
Which I don't have any problem with that. It's all about making money.
I didn't believe you me. I'm not surprised to hear you say that. I'm not surprised. All right, well, Jimmy, thank you for coming on. I appreciate it.
Ooh, I actually had one thing I wanted to talk to you about real quick. Do we got time? We good?
We have a little bit of time. Go ahead. What pre-tell do you want to talk about here?
So
we'll postpone this sign-off here in a minute. Go ahead.
I was cleaning out my house before you got here, and I clearly didn't do enough of a job.
Oh, that's okay. But I don't judge, man. What else?
My dog has 4 superhero stuffed animals that he plays with.
Oh.
And I think my dog might be the greatest supervillain of all time.
He killed all of them, didn't he?
No, not yet. Listen, he methodically is doing this. He took Superman out to the car and put him in the car, and he's stuck in the car. So Superman is off-planet right now while he's wreaking havoc on everybody else.
Okay.
He cornered Batman, ripped Batman to shreds. He doesn't have powers. He cornered him.
Well, yeah, which I mean,
I know that Batman wouldn't be the first to go in the comics, but
right, yeah. Well,
my dog doesn't care.
No.
He tore Batman apart. In fact, see that piece of fuzz right there?
Is that Batman?
That's Batman's guts.
Wow, man.
So then next he went to Green Lantern. Green Lantern is still alive right now, but he chewed off his hand that the ring is on.
Oh, that's smart. That is smart.
Like, literally, that is all the damage that is done to that Green Lantern. That is smart. Is the ring hand is chewed off.
And who's the fourth superhero?
The Flash, which I found his arm shredded and him drowned in the toilet bowl.
Well, your dog's got to be quick to catch the Flash.
Oh, he is.
How old is your dog?
He is 8 months.
8 months?
Yep. And he's already killing every superhero in the world.
I know. Wow.
I'm just worried about the day Superman comes back and sees that the whole metropolis of our living room has been destroyed. Ironically enough, my dog's name, Crypto.
Really?
Yep.
Amazing. Amazing.
And Crypto turned on everybody.
Man. Where is there in the other apartment? Is Lex Luthor living here? Is that when he's got mind control over your dog to destroy the Justice League?
The lady across the hall, I actually call her Snooki. She looks nothing like Snooki, but she's just a heavier set, tan lady with
dark hair.
That's
okay. I give nicknames to the people at the gym. I mentioned that.
Oh, I've heard that before.
Yeah, yeah. Davey Richards, too. Mm. Yeah.
We got Snooki across the hall, deaf lady below us.
This is so gone. This podcast is just totally off the rails now. Not even on track. But go ahead. Deaf lady downstairs.
And then across the hall downstairs is lady with 10,000 kids. I do not know how many people live in there, but I see someone new every day.
What ethnicity are they?
They're Caucasian.
Okay,
all
right. Well, I mean, did you like how sensitive I was on that? What ethnicity are they?
And was that PC, Caucasian? Is that?
Yes, that's PC. That's all fine. Right. Okay. All right, so there's just a lot of kids then.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No.
And then I don't know about the other half of the building. They're all foreigners. Not foreign to me. I'm not Jock Samson here. Although I love you, Uncle Jock.
It's not the 80s band Foreigner.
No.
Because that would be sweet.
Although their greatest hit CD is in my CD player in my car right now.
Where Superman's listening to it right now?
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe. That actually was a fascinating story.
I thought you would like it.
I did enjoy that. That was awesome, man. That's awesome. So, what? Just out of curiosity, though, I did notice that when you had your dog at Mogador, correct?
Mm-hmm, yep.
Okay. He seemed to be awful excitable.
Here's the thing, because I was watching the show from up in the press box, looking out, and I was like, wow, he's actually being calm during the match. And then it was Robbie and Tank's match. Robbie punched Tank in the face, and the dog started barking.
I noticed that, too.
I remember, I'll joke around and, playfully shove my girlfriend, the dog starts barking. He doesn't like violence.
Really?
But he's
so you brought him to a wrestling show. Yeah. That's great. That's fabulous. This will be utter hell for Crypto, but let's bring him anyways.
He has no problem watching the theatrics of the wrestling, loud music, none of it. He just sits there.
Yeah.
Didn't mind. But once it came to the actual fighting, he starts barking, and he actually got involved in a match, I heard.
Yeah, he did. Who was that? I think
Jeremy Madrox and Juice
Jennings.
Jennings
tried to have your dog bite Jeremy Madrox's face off. Or the mustache. I'm not sure. My vision was a little bit, obscured, if you will. So,
we're starting them early in the Shane household.
I can't believe you have kids.
Ooh.
It'll be great. They'll be destroying everything. They will be Galactus. I am the destroyer of planets.
With little faux hawks.
Anyways. All right, well, ladies and gentlemen, Jimmy, thanks for coming on.
It's no problem. Thank you for having me.
And once again, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening. Spread the word. I really do appreciate everybody that's out there listening to the BBD cast. And with that, I'm signing off, and I will talk to each and every one of you later. Once again, thanks for listening.